Today is April 16th, 2012. This is Sigrid Benson interviewing Dwayne Johnson, and we are at the Cameron Park Library. All right, Dwayne, where were you born?
In Miami, Oklahoma.
Miami, Oklahoma. And where did you go to school?
With what level?
Elementary?
Cherry Avenue School in Sacramento.
Okay. Yeah. So you grew up in Sacramento?
Yeah. My family were, you know, all the Oklahoma folks that came out here in the Dust Bowl and all of that good jazz.
Uh-huh. What year did you arrive in California?
Oh, I was probably about 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
So, 1950.
Uh-huh. And you came to Sacramento?
Sacramento, yeah.
Okay. And did you grow up mainly in Sacramento?
Yeah. Spent most of my... Till I... when did I leave? Oh, probably... I probably didn't leave until I was in the Marine Corps when I was about 21.
Oh, okay. And you returned to Sacramento after that?
Or was that a
roundabout trip?
Off and on.
Okay.
You know?
What year did you begin your career with Fish and Games?
The year I began my career with Fish and Game, 1969.
And in
July.
Capacity?
I was what they call a Fish and Wildlife Assistant 1. That's the, other than a seasonal aid, that's the low end on the totem pole.
So that's the entry level?
Yeah, it's an entry level position at one of the state fish hatcheries. Although they do use Fish and Wildlife Assistance on the wildlife areas and in other places in the department. I started out in the Hot Creek Fish Hatchery.
And which fish hatchery was this?
Hot Creek.
Hot Creek.
It's outside of Mammoth Lakes, California. It's about 4 or 5 miles from the Mammoth Lakes Ski Resort in the little town of Mammoth Lakes.
Okay. Now, do you remember what drew you to a career in Fish and Games at that point?
Well, just a lifelong love of wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lifelong love of the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I was an Eagle Scout. We had a great scoutmaster, a great assistant scoutmaster. We went to the National Jamboree in, I think it was 1960. That's when the Jamboree was in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the board members, I don't know exactly what they call them, was a regional manager for Fish and Game.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, at the time, I thought I wanted to be a forest ranger. But if you've ever taken calculus, and all those little teeny plants and stuff like that, you know, the little, I don't know what, anyway, I decided it was either to say deer, bear,
the larger, larger game,
than it was to do calculus and try and identify all those little plants. So I kind of switched from being interested in being a forest ranger and working for Fish and Game.
Okay. Now, are you an outdoorsman personally?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I don't, now that I'm retired, I do a lot more traveling and the grandkids are my outdoors.
Uh-huh.
You know, taking them to Fairy Tale Town and things like that.
Yeah. So between what years did you work for Fish and Game?
Like I said, I started in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And I retired in 2000.
Okay.
So 31 plus years.
And how did you begin your career as a warden specifically?
Well, at the time, and it's probably changed by now, you know, because I change all the time,
mm-hmm.
The requirements were, a couple of years experience in some field of conservation,
mm-hmm.
like working at the fish hatchery,
right.
and one summer I took the test and passed the list. And at the time I was interested in finishing up my, I had a Associate of Arts degree from American River College. And at the time I was interested in finishing up my 4-year degree. Mm-hmm. So I told them that, you know, they offered me a job as a game warden. And I just said, hey, I'll be a game warden. I just want to be somewhere that's college. Oh, okay. So I can finish my college up. So, and Long Beach has and always will be not one of the very popular game warden spots. So I got assigned to Long Beach and finished up my 4-year degree in a Bachelor of Science in Zoology at Long Beach.
Okay.
I guess I was going to say Long Beach State, but it is now California State University in Long Beach, you know.
All right.
Just like Sac State used to be.
Yeah.
Sac State. Some of those old people still call it that.
Now, what makes Long Beach such an unpopular spot for wardens?
Well, you know, that's not what you picture when you picture a game warden. Mm. You picture you look in a conservation magazine and they show a guy on horseback out in the tall pine trees and stuff like that.
Right.
But it actually turned out to be a pretty interesting assignment. Uh-huh. And I think it's one of the reasons why I was fortunate enough to advance like I did in the department. Because mm-hmm. there was just, believe it or not, there's all kinds of wildlife in Los Angeles County. There's deer hunting and all kinds of hunting up in the Angeles National Forest. And of course, there's all the marine ocean fishing and stuff like that. And one of the interesting things that the California Department of Fish and Game is enforces is our prohibited species laws. There are lots of animals that California doesn't want in mm-hmm. to the state. So one of the things we did was do airport inspections.
Okay.
I don't know if they still do it or not. I know they're still, but with budget cutbacks and stuff like that. But we did airport inspections and checked out the cargo areas to make sure people weren't smuggling illegal fish or illegal monkeys and things like that in.
Right.
And then of course out in the marine area there's all those offshore islands, Catalina and, mm-hmm. and the Channel Islands. So there's actually quite a bit of law enforcement, fish and game work in the metropolitan Los Angeles
area.
That's
interesting. How long did your appointment at Long Beach last?
I was there about 3 years.
So what was a typical day like there?
Nothing typical in fish and game. When I first went to Long Beach as a warden, I was a warden dispatcher. They don't even use warden dispatchers anymore. Mm-hmm. But my job when I first started out was to sit behind a desk on the radio, and I was the field warden's link to, you know, if they needed help or backup somewhere, or they needed information, or they needed to run a license plate to see who owned a car, or mm-hmm. run a driver's license to see if some hunter or fisherman that they were writing a ticket with had outstanding warrants or anything like that. They called me on the radio, and yeah. I did the record checks and things like that. Mm-hmm. Then I got without moving, they moved me off the desk. Digress a little bit. At the same time, to make sure I got my field training and stuff like that out in the field like that, on opening day of dove season, I got to go to the Imperial Valley and work dove hunters. And mm-hmm. opening day of deer season, I'd be in the Sierra Nevadas and Bishop working the deer hunters. Or I'd be up in Ventura County working the early deer season opener there. Or one of the local wardens that worked the Angeles Forest or Castaic Lake or one of those would call me up and say, hey, you want to come out and work with me on Saturday or Sunday? I'm going to be out on a boat on the lake, and you know, I could use some help up there. And so I'd go out and work with them. So I got a whole variety of of experiences and stuff like that while I was down there.
So that was your on-the-job training?
Yeah,
kind
of. Yeah. And then, like I said, after they took me off the dispatch and put me out in a field position in Northern Orange County, mm-hmm. where I worked for, I don't know, it doesn't make any difference, 6-8 months, and then they pulled me out and put me in a position in L.A. County, and that's when I was doing the pet shop inspections and the airplane inspections and things like that. Back then, this would have been the early 70s, you know, became wardens, they moved them all the way around. It was kind of like being in the military. You moved, you know, they called you up and said, hey, I need you to take this position, go. Mm-hmm. And the state had lots of money, and they pay for your move, and you back up and, you know, go to a new position. Today, they don't do that so much. Today, once you get a position, unless you really want to go somewhere, I think you're pretty much, that's where you end up.
Yeah. Now, were the assignments typically, you know, a standard duration, or did it vary across the board?
No, just depended. When I went to North Orange County, I think, as I recall, the warden down there had retired, and they didn't want the district to go vacant. Mm-hmm. They wanted somebody down there because there was quite a bit of hunting activity in the Cleveland National Forest down in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't want it to go vacant. And so there was two dispatchers in the office, and they said, well, you know, this dispatcher can handle it until we get another one hired. Mm-hmm.
So in a district, you had your dispatchers, your field wardens, and what other kind of support staff were you working with?
Not much.
Not much.
Just we had in Long Beach there, we worked closely with the regional manager, secretary, mm-hmm. and that's basically it. You do all your own reports, and you write all your own reports, and type up all your own reports, and do that kind of good jazz. Your support staff is your wife. She knows how to really type in. An unpaid position.
Yeah, all right. Let's see, did you have close ties with other kind of law enforcement in your daily work, or?
Not on a daily basis, but we do have close ties, and that really depends on the district. I graduated from the Long Beach, from the Riverside Sheriff's Department Academy. Mm-hmm. We're full peace officers, and so we had to go through the same training. They call it the Peace Officers and Standards and Training Academy. At that time, I think it was about 10 weeks. It was long enough for me.
Yeah.
I learned how to be a really good cop. And, you know, depending on the district, like in Long Beach, not too much contact, but then down in Orange County, working in the forest and something like that, quite a bit of contact with the sheriff's department, because you're the only warden for, you know, 100 square miles, and so if you needed help, the person you called was the local sheriff or the local police department or something like that.
Okay. As a warden, did you have ties with other wardens, or were you mostly working, as you say, with other law enforcement?
Mostly it's solo work, except in a metropolitan area like LA.
Okay.
You know, where in LA County you might have 15, 20 wardens, but for example, I was the warden in Alpine County for a couple of years, and I was the warden in Alpine County. Mm-hmm. I worked very closely with the local sheriff's office. I had a sheriff's department radio, so if I needed help, I called them. I didn't call Fishing Games Dispatcher, because they were in Sacramento, and they couldn't do me any good at all.
Right.
My closest warden was in South Lake Tahoe, about 40 miles away. So most of the time you're working solo. Although on occasion, like I said, I'd get a, when I was in Long Beach, I'd get a call from one of the guys, say, I need help on my boat drill on Saturday, can you come out? And I'd go work, you know, then you'd work with a partner. And then sometimes there were warrant details. You'd have to go arrest people that didn't pay their fines or do something like that. And you get 10, 12 guys and you go out serving warrants. So then you're working with people, but most of the time, game warden, we're resident officers.
Okay.
When I was in it's safe to say that most of the game wardens are resident post. If you're the game warden in Alpine County, you live in Markleyville. And in fact, at the time, I had a fishing game radio in my house. So my wife could call me on the radio if I got any phone calls in the office or anything like that that needed attention immediately. And then like the warden in Susanville, in other words, there's no fish and game office involved unless you're in one of the major areas like Long Beach, or there's probably half a dozen wardens that work out of the Rancho Cordova office, or the Redding Fish and Game office. There's a main office up there where there's probably half a dozen wardens that work out of it. But Bernie Warden lives in Bernie, and that's his office. That's one of the greatest part about the job. You know, you'd get up in the morning, have your coffee, walk out, get in the car, and let dispatcher know you were working, and you were at work. Really great commute.
Right. Now, did they provide housing for you, or was that at your discretion?
No, that was our... I say no, that's... In some instances, they did provide housing, or because State Parks was one of our sister agencies, and mm-hmm. they still are, you'd get housing on a state park or on a wildlife area or something like that, and I know that there are still a number of game wardens that, you know, live on wildlife areas and things like that with housing provided. But, you know, when you're the Long Beach warden, no, they didn't provide housing.
Yeah. So you went from Long Beach to...
Went from Long Beach to Alpine County.
To Alpine?
Yeah, I was the game warden in Alpine County for 2 years on a voluntary transfer.
And after that, where did you go?
And then I got promoted to... a supervisor called a lieutenant mm-hmm. in Paso Robles,
okay.
down on the Central Coast.
And that lasted for how long?
Another two-year slot.
Wow.
And I got promoted again, mm-hmm. And I was the captain in the Bay Area. I was a captain for, five or six Bay Area counties? Mm-hmm. San Francisco, San Mateo, Alameda, Contra Costa, Marin. I knew there was one more in there. In Marin County, and I was the captain there with an office in Menlo Park.
Okay. Now, how did your duties change when you got promoted to that position?
To Menlo Park?
Yes, to the captain position.
A lot more marine-related stuff.
Okay.
A lot more fishing. Mm-hmm. You know, in Markleyville, to back up as a game warden in Markleyville, you know, it was hunting and fishing, and that was basically it, you know, mostly recreational. Paso Robles was also hunting and fishing, but mostly recreational, although there was some commercial, but we weren't responsible for it. Another region was responsible for the coast. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved to San Francisco, not much hunting, as you can imagine, although there was hunting in Alameda County. Some in the hills around Half Moon Bay and stuff like that, but mostly fishing-related activity and more, and started getting into the commercial activity then. There was a Marine captain in the office with me at the same time, and we used to share wardens back and forth to, you know, for special openers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hope my voice lasts.
Well, you're doing great, so don't worry about that. How would you say that state lines or even your own district boundaries affected your work? Were you geographically bound?
That's had an interesting evolution, and I can't tell you what it is now. But when I first started out as a game warden, if you were the district warden, you were the king of your district, and nobody dared to go into your district without checking with you or being invited.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over the years that's kind of relaxed a little bit. I know there's a lot of, and when I became captain in Menlo Park, I kind of just did away with the district boundaries. I just wanted them to go where the action is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let your fellow warden know what's going on, but, you know, if you're going to go in their district or going to go help them out or something like that, but, you know, we don't need to pay so much attention to district boundaries. And honestly, I don't know what they do now. I don't think district boundaries are as important as they first were when I became a game warden. Same as a captain. You didn't dare go into another captain's district without talking to him or something like that. On the state boundaries, most of the wardens that work along the state lines or work really closely with their counterparts on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
We were, at the time, and to be honest with you, I don't know whether they still are or not, but we were federally deputized by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So we have law enforcement authority in Nevada for federal law and stuff like that. And like when I was in Alpine County, I worked very closely with the Gardnerville warden. His name was Terry Crawford, and he coincidentally became chief of Nevada's enforcement division about the same time I became chief of our enforcement division.
Yeah, okay.
So we kind of moved up the ladder at about the same time, but we used to work together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting and a lot of fun, too, because people who lived on the border liked to play both sides of the fence. And you'd get some guy fishing who claimed he was a California resident. And you knew damn good and well he lived in Reno or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd pinch him for, write him a ticket for, don't want to use too much jargon. So you write him a ticket for, you know, not having a California fishing license. And so, and a couple of times we had people that wanted to fight it, so they, you know, they'd schedule a trial in front of the judge because it's a misdemeanor. It's not
okay.
It's not an infraction like most of your traffic laws and stuff like that. And it may have changed now, but 90-95% of fish and game laws were misdemeanors when I was working. So they, of course, they had a right to jury trial and, you know, all of that good jazz. So when we'd get one of these guys that didn't, claim that dual residency, I'd call up Terry and say, hey, Terry, you need to be in court on this day. And so the guy'd get up on the stand and yada, 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 you know, I'm a California resident and all of this. And if the judge was stupid enough to believe him, when he walked out the courtroom door, Terry was there to sign him up because he had a Nevada fishing license that was resident also. Oh, wait a minute, you just told the judge in there that you were California resident, so it's illegal for you to have a Nevada resident license. You can't be a resident of two states.
Right.
So we'd get him one way or the other.
Well, it sounds like you guys worked well together.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Now, how do you think that the average citizen perceives the role of the warden?
I don't think the average citizen has a clue what game wardens do.
That's very fair.
You know, if you don't hunt or fish, mm-hmm. you've probably never had contact with a game warden. And if you don't hunt or fish, and you know we get it all the time, you know, if we, and I'm sure it's still the same, if we saw a danger to you know, the public, we'd take action because we were peace officers. Mm-hmm. And we still are peace officers. We're in the same penal code section as the Highway Patrol and Parks and Recreation, and the state police are all under penal code section, and I forget what it is. I don't need to know it anymore.
That's
all
right.
So we're all in the, so we're, all of us are full law enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. And if we see, you know, something dangerous taking place, we would take action. And you'd always get the argument, well, you're just a game warden, you can't do this.
Right.
Oh, yes I can. You know, because they, like I said, the average person doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
What game wardens do or everything that they face out there, and in fact, even our fellow law enforcement officers think we're totally nuts.
Why is that?
Well, you know, if you work for Sac Sheriff's Office and you roll into a call, you call for backup, and there's somebody pulls in behind you. While you're making a traffic stop or something like that, and, you know, they're there, won't say instantly, but shortly. When you're a game warden and you're out in the middle of the boondocks,
right.
There's just you. There isn't going to be a sheriff or mm-hmm. or a highway patrol or somebody like that, although, you know, they will back us up or something like that. And they do, but you're most of the time out there working alone, and they just think we're totally nuts. Plus the fact that especially in the hunting side, everybody's got a gun.
Right.
And so they think we're totally nuts.
Did you find yourself in risky situations often?
Not often, but enough to keep life interesting.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. There's one time I was the lieutenant in Paso Robles, and I had a great dog. It was a black lab, mm-hmm. and he minded just, I don't know if you know anything about Labrador Retrievers, but they really train easily, and they really mind commands and hand commands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he was my patrol companion. He was my backup.
What was his name?
Cortez.
No.
Don't ask me where the name Cortez from, because I haven't got the slightest idea. My wife named him. And so anyway, I called that there were some illegal hunters out on a ranch out in, outside of town. So I hopped in the truck, went out there, and the dispatcher told me there's three people. Okay, we can do three. And I finally found the vehicle, and it was one of those cab over camper type things. And in addition to the three people in the cab that the person reported saw, there was eight more people in the camper. So I had 11 guys, all of them with guns out there. Fortunately, they were already pretty, but I just snapped my fingers. My dog was in the car, or in my truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I just snapped my fingers, and he was at heel. And I just said, watch him. And he, of course, the funny thing about it is this big old lab was great with my kids. He wouldn't hurt a flea. But this big black dog sitting there staring at him, man, they didn't move an inch. While I checked all their rifles and checked everything out and wrote them a couple of tickets. So yeah, you sometimes got hairy out there.
Yeah. What do you remember as the most common type of infraction that you were dealing with?
Oh, that's easy. Fishing without a license. In fact, if you look at the department stats, I'm sure it's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
They probably, oh God, I don't want to give you numbers, but probably 90% of the tickets written, maybe 80% of the tickets written were for fish without a license.
Yeah.
Section 700, the California Administrative Code, Title 14. Yeah, you write lots of those. There's one weekend I was working down in L.A. County with one of the guys, and he wanted me to go for a boat patrol ride with him, and we had to turn in daily activity reports, and we just had one of those days, man. Everybody we talked to didn't have a license, and turned in my daily activity report, and I think we'd written 19 tickets. I'd written 19 tickets. That my captain called me in the office and said, "What's this? You didn't write 19 tickets?" "I did, boss. You want to see them?" "No, okay." And my partner wrote an equal amount, so.
Yeah. So a good day or a bad day, I'm not sure.
For a game warden, that's a good day.
That's a good day, okay.
When I was in Alpine County, I probably wouldn't write 19 tickets in 6 months. You know, just a different clientele.
Right.
You know, the people who go up in the mountains on vacation or stuff like that. Generally bought the fishing licenses and things like that, so.
Okay.
Although you would occasionally catch somebody with one of them, so.
So do you think it's more locals that felt?
No, actually the locals are pretty good too.
Are they good?
You know, you'd get, like, yeah. I said, you'd get somebody from Nevada over thinking he could beat the system or somebody from South Lake Tahoe would come over and think they could beat the system, but license compliance pretty good. Although that's still a major ticket you write up there.
Yeah.
Fishing without a license.
Now you moved from between these different districts, from the game heavy to the fishing heavy areas. Over time, do you think that wardens have tended to specialize in any geographic or environmental area, or has that remained the same?
Some do, some don't. It just depends on, like I said, I was fortunate. I started out in Long Beach where they had everything.
Yeah.
Even as bad as it sounds, it really does have a lot of wildlife activity down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when I went to Alpine County, it was hunting and fishing. That's what it was. So you'd get, so if you were a warden that and God love them, you need them, you got a post like Alpine County as your first posting,
mm-hmm.
you might never leave there. They might spend 30 years there, and all they would know would be hunting and fishing. They wouldn't know anything about the ocean regulations or any of the commercial regulations or anything like that. So it just really depends on, the district you end up in and what you want to try and do with yourself.
Yeah. Now, what did you do after the Bay Area assignment? When you were headquartered in the park?
Well, for some crazy reason, we had a new director, and our old, called him Chief of Patrol at the time. I don't know, is Nancy still called Chief of Patrol? The Chief of the Wildlife Protection Division, we called it the Wildlife Protection Division back then.
Okay.
Now I think it's called Law Enforcement Division. My director appointed me as the chief here in Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
So from Menlo Park, I came to Sacramento.
Okay, and do you remember what year that was?
Oh, yeah. Never forget that.
Yeah?
It was 1984.
Okay. So at that point, how did your job change?
Oh, drastically.
Yeah.
Then I, now I became a desk driver.
Okay.
My role at the time was mainly as an advisor to the director.
Okay.
on law enforcement matters.
Mm-hmm.
And in my office was, we were in charge of the major statewide programs like Hunter Education and mm-hmm. training. Because since we're full peace officers, and it's probably changed because they're changing it. Every 2 years you had to have so many hours of formal training to maintain your peace officer status.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a training officer in there, and we did the hiring and background checks on wardens, new warden hires, and things like that. Put the academies together. When we'd hire a bunch of new wardens, we'd get them set up to go to someplace like Riverside Sheriff's Academy or Modesto was one of them that we used. And then we eventually did our own academy with Napa Valley College. Since then, it's moved up to Butte College, but okay. that's handled out of Sacramento. And then one of the big things we did was work with the Fish and Game Commission. Well, I monthly, and sometimes more often if we had special hearings and stuff like that, would work with the Fish and Game Commission and testify in front of the Fish and Game Commission, and got to testify in front of the legislature and work with the legislature. You know, different kind of work, fascinating work. Still went out in the field on occasion, and not as much as I'd like, you know. Everybody, when you want to be a game warden, you want to be out in the tall pines, but the boss would let me go on a deer opener or a trout opener or something like that. And, you know, probably monthly I'd get out in the field and do a little work with one of the game wardens. Of course, I was always riding along, and they were always trying to impress the chief, so.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, changed drastically then.
Now, did you remain in that capacity until your retirement?
Almost. Mm-hmm. My last 2 years, the director we had at the time wanted to... at one time, there was a marine region that was responsible for the entire coast.
Uh-huh.
Then, later on, we had a director that said, nah, marine ought to be all together. And the wardens and everybody else ought to be in the region, the contiguous land region.
Uh-huh.
So they did away with the marine region. And the marine functions was handled out of Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
And then along came the director I'm speaking with, and she asked me if I would take an appointment in Monterey and put together a new marine region. So last 2 years before retirement, I said, yeah, okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite assignment out of all those varied times and places?
I don't know. A favorite assignment. My boss, when I was downtown, he and I used to say, hey, anything you'd rather be doing right now? And other than my family, there was nothing ever that I ever wanted to be doing. It didn't make any difference. I loved working at the fish hatchery.
Uh-huh.
I could get up in the morning, and at the time, things were really lovely. It was before the Fair Labor Standards Act came along, and if you had an 8-hour job, you did it in 8 hours. If you had a 12-hour job, you did it in 12 hours. If you had a 6-hour job, you did it in 6 hours and went home. It was really light, and if you looked up at the mountain and the skiing looked great, you know, it was a bluebird day, and the wind and the snow wasn't going vertical off the, you'd call the boss up and say, hey, I'm going skiing today, go skiing. So that was a great job.
Yeah.
Then of course, down in Long Beach, I had a mission, and that was to finish my degree, which I did. My second boy was born there. We loved the beach. We loved all the activities. I'm a Dodger baseball fan, so we loved the Dodgers. I loved the variety. I got to go on all these openers, and like I said earlier, I got to go on all these deer openers and, you know, work with the wardens and a whole variety. And then, of course, Alpine County, you know, that's what everybody dreams of. That's the dream game warden job. Mm-hmm. And I love this. Somebody asked me one time, I forget who it was, where do you go on vacation? I said, vacation? I don't go on vacation. Where would I go on vacation? I'd live in Alpine County. All the fishing I had and what I want to do. And then Paso Robles was really a great thing down there. And the thing that really made it great is the people down there just loved Fish and Game.
Oh, yeah?
They really worked closely with Fish and Game, and I had a great bunch of guys working for me. It was my first supervisory job, so so they kept me out of trouble and didn't let me screw up too much. Half Moon Bay, you know, another variety. We just had a good fun time there too, because of all the activity and stuff like that. We made some major cases. Made a case that one time I proved prophetic. It was a salmon fishing case where the Klamath River Indians were bringing salmon down and selling them. At the time, it was illegal.
Yeah.
And I told my guys after we got done making the bust and putting all the fish away, and I said, you guys write good reports because this one's going to the Supreme Court, because we had them and they knew we had them. And so, you know, of course, they went to the Supreme Court claiming Indian rights and all this good jazz. And you know, the liberal judges said, yeah, the Indians can have it. And so they've completely destroyed it. Well, I don't know, maybe it's back now, the Klamath River, because they let them go commercial with it. But I told them, I said, this one's going to the Supreme Court, so write good reports. And they did. And then, of course, I loved Sacramento because of the variety. And I really liked working with the Fish and Game Commission and testifying for the commission. So I don't know, favorite assignment? They were all my favorite assignment.
Well, it sounds like
I never had it. Where would you rather be? Nowhere. I couldn't imagine working for anybody else or doing another job like that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I got in trouble one time when I was the chief. We were having a question and answer session at some training or something like that, and they were complaining about their salary. And they needed a salary raise. They probably still are very underpaid.
Okay.
But I just said, hey, you know, if you don't like it, go to work for the Highway Patrol. You can make, you know, whatever it was at the time. Mm-hmm. And oh boy, they didn't like that. But it's the truth. If you're not happy in your job, go get another one. And if you're, the fact that you don't have a good salary is making you unhappy, you go get another job. You know, I talked earlier about, you know, there are game wardens that will move into a district and work there for 30 years and then retire. Mm-hmm. And God love them, we need them. We got to have those long-term veterans with all those, that memory and everything.
Yeah.
And they're not, but you're not going to get rich doing it. Right. You know, you're not going to get rich doing the chief of patrol's job anyway. Everybody thinks a government, you know, is some kind of big. But, you know, if I was in private industry managing the size budget that I was managing, you know, I'd been making $200,000, $300,000 a year. I wasn't with Fish and Game, but I loved the job.
Yeah, had other benefits, it sounds like.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Now you mentioned the community in Paso Robles is really having a great relationship with Fish and Game. Was there something unique to that situation?
Well, I don't know. It was unique to me when I first came down there. They had the San Luis Obispo Sportsman's Club down there. And, you know, you talk about not having backup. The San Luis Obispo sportsmen listen to us all the time on radio on scanners.
Oh, okay.
And if we ever got in any trouble or needed any help or anything like that, we just go on our radio and say, hey, sportsmen, I forget what we use, but I'm sure I'm at such and such, and I need somebody out here to help me out. Uh-huh. And, you know, half hour later, there are people rolling up to help you out from all directions. And one of the things, and I don't know if they still do it, one of the things you're responsible for as the district warden is taking care of all your evidence. So you'd catch some guy spotlighting deer at night and he'd killed a deer. So you got to clean that deer and skin it and do all of that. Well, in Alpine County, I did that myself. In Long Beach, I did that myself. And in Paso Robles, you call the sportsman up and say, hey, I'm at such and such, and I got evidence. And they'd come out, they'd take the deer, clean it for you, take care of it. There's a thing called a chain of evidence. They would maintain the chain of evidence, and if need be, they'd go into court and testify, and they'd store the deer for you, and all kinds of good. So they were really, really helpful.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I imagine they probably still are.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that changing.
Well, speaking of change, how do you see the job of the warden having changed over the time that you have been with Fish and Games?
Well, really the basic job, I don't think it's changed at all. The Alpine County Warden still works basically hunting and fishing and stuff like that. The big change, I think, is in the drug enforcement.
Okay.
And although when I was a warden, we made some pretty big drug busts, it just happened on them. You're out in the ocean, you know, off Long Beach and skiff checking fishing licenses and the suspicious looking boat with no running lights or on it or anything, you pull them over and you find a hole full of marijuana, call the Coast Guard and you get, you made them. Now one of the big problems they've got is all these illegal marijuana farms that they grow on public land and the national forest and things like that. Our guys are pretty heavily involved in trying to eradicate some of that, mainly because of the pollution. They fertilizer in stream beds and divert water and kill all the fish. Many times the drug buyers, live off the land, killing deer, killing any wildlife they can get. So they're into that a lot. Have you ever seen the Nat Geo special called Wild Justice?
I have not.
Yeah, you need to see that and you'll see what I'm talking about. And when I was a game warden, we really didn't have a lot of that. So there's just a ton more people in California than there used to be. And we probably don't have any more game wardens in the state than we had when I was a game warden. So there's just lots of things now that game wardens can't get to that in my day we used to get to.
I see.
But there's too many people now. It got us way outnumbered.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the major change.
Do you feel that technology has made a large shift or impact on the job of the warden?
Oh yeah, I know it has.
Yeah.
Because I understand now all the game wardens have got department-supplied computers and in their home office. And, the old daily activity report I talked to you about that we used to fill out by hand and send in, they do it right on the computer and hit the send button and the captain's got it. And same thing with their time reporting and law enforcement reports and things like that. Back in the old days, we used to keep all of our tickets on file, hard copy. Now it's all, now it's all on computer. I remember one time I was down there in Sacramento, and we were just getting into the computerized word processing jazz and stuff like that, and my secretary was archiving files from the year before. She brought in a pile of paperwork and said, look, this is what we did the year before we got all these word processors, and here's what we did. I mean, it was fairly dramatic.
Yeah.
So yeah, technology is really, the radio systems are better. Computers are better.
In the field, has it dramatically changed?
Yeah, like I said, the radio systems are much better than they were, and cell phones.
Right.
Now a lot of game wardens, they got cell phones, so they when they're out in an area where they can't get on the radios and get on their cell phone, call their captain, say, I need help, or stuff like that. So that's been a big change. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first started out, our portable radios were, we called them lunch boxes. Mm-hmm. They were like yay by yay by yay. That was our portable radio. Now it's a little thing like that fits on your belt.
Yeah, that's definitely different. So, at this point, would you recommend the job to someone else today?
Well, I don't really, I've been retired for coming up on 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know the job today.
Yeah.
When I retired, would I recommend it? Absolutely. Like I said, it was the best job I ever had. It's the only job I ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Something to do with the outdoors and stuff like that. And, there's no other job in the, like I said, you get up in the morning, if you're a district warden, you get up in the morning, walk out, go 10-8 on the radio, and you're at work. Not a very tough commute.
Right.
When I was the warden in Alpine County, at Kirkwood Meadows, which is the ski resort up there,
mm-hmm.
I'd take the school kids skiing. Tough duty.
Yeah.
I had a snowmobile, and during the winter time, there's ice fishing up there. I would have to. It was terrible. I'd get on my snowmobile and go out and check out Blue Lakes or check out that to see if somebody was fishing. So I'd spend the day out in the wilderness on my snow machine and stop and have a little picnic lunch never see a soul.
Yeah.
In fact, one time, one of my captains, one of the things we'd write down on our daily activity report is how many miles we traveled that day, Oh, you're the guy that went 230 miles and didn't see anybody. What can I say?
Wow.
So yeah, at the time, and I'd probably still recommend it now, because I still know a few active game wardens and stuff like that. I haven't lost complete touch with, the department.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to Baker to Vegas.
Right.
And yeah, I'd recommend it now. If you love the outdoor and you don't want to become a rich stockbroker,
There's
not a better job in the world.
Now, as far as your time in the outdoors, did you ever or often feel threatened by the wildlife that you were encountering or not?
Oh, heck no.
No?
No, never.
That wasn't a part of...
Yeah. Because if you're used to the outdoors, there's critters out there.
Yeah.
So, no, I can't ever recall being threatened by the wildlife.
That's good to know. And let's see here. Speaking of wildlife, over the time that you were with Fish and Games, did you observe a notable shift in wildlife?
You mean by shift?
As far as populations, encroachment of urban environments.
Oh yeah, that's one of the big major problems. That's one of the things that really irritates me about some of these animal welfare do-gooder agencies that are all the time, yelling and screaming about hunting and things like that. But where are they when the local planning commission approves a subdivision right in a winter deer's habitat.
Right.
You know, that subdivision is the one that's going to kill all the deer.
Mm-hmm.
Not a couple of hundred hunters shooting a few. It's a subdivision that wipes out the place where they have the babies in the springtime.
Yeah.
That's one of the real. In fact, I think, where was it? I just read an article about that, about the deer populations in California, how they're on a downtrend, and it might have been in the Bee.
Yeah, I think so.
And how the habitat loss and everything is really hammering the deer population. I mean, I live in a place, you know, where the deer, they still do roam, but only not in the same numbers that they used to do, because there's a house there.
Right.
So that's really a tragedy.
Yeah.
But, you know, that what come with people.
This is true.
That's why these wildlife do-gooders, those kind of people, but there are a lot of good conservation agencies out there, like the Nature Conservancy and that, mm-hmm. that buy wildlife habitat and protect it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, is a plus.
Yeah.
So not all of these do-gooders are bad.
Duane, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Anything else I would like to add? No, aren't you tired of listening to me?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm sure I missed something. Is there anything that you...
Well, you can always call, you know, call me up. And I'm like, no, I can't think of anything, you know. Love the job. I should have brought it. I have an interesting quote about the game warden and their job, and if we do our job, there'd be deer there for somebody to poach 100 years from now.
Who said that?
I don't remember. I'm really paraphrasing it.
Yeah, well, you get the drift.
But it was something like that, you know. Yeah. That, you know, guys get all frustrated because there's people out there poaching. And, you know, at least there's wildlife to poach. You know, when everything's paved over and there's houses and everything, then there won't be any deer.
Yeah.
Because they won't have any place to live.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it sounds like you've had a very satisfying and varied career.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad to hear about it.
Yeah. Because some of my best friends are with fishing game too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're retired now. I mean,
yeah.
This new bunch coming through, I go, God, you know, who is that? Who's the captain up there now?
Yeah.
And when I first retired, you know, I knew most of it because I was the chief. I knew most of the names and folks like that. But now I, like this Baker Vegas, I was looking at our roster of runners and I've got the slightest idea who that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were hired 4 years ago, and I've been gone for 12.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn this off now.
Okay.